Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinkin' Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Welcome to Drinkin' Bros Podcast, kids. We got a lady on the show today, Dan, that could probably kick the shit out of both of us.
Well, pretty much anybody could kick the shit out of me because I'm not fighting. It's got too much other shit to do.
You got too much going on today?
Yeah.
Yeah, now it makes sense.
It's not about the actual fight for me anymore. It's about the consequences.
You know yeah.
I mean? Like, I don't not take risks sometimes as an adult now because I'm worried about the risk. I just don't want to have to do the fucking paperwork afterwards.
No, you know I understand. I mean? I understand. Paige Van Sant, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's it going?
Where are you at today?
I'm in Florida. So sunny Coconut Creek, Florida.
Oh, nice. Nice. Florida's been just the leader of the pack as far as COVID goes. Not giving a shit. Every time we've done an event in Florida, it's been magic. Is that on purpose? Are you living there on purpose? Or you always live there?
It helped. No, actually, we moved here from Oregon about a year ago. So during the pandemic, we moved here. And yeah, it's night and day different than Oregon. So fortunately for us, this state did work out a little bit better as far as training. You know, the fight, our careers didn't stop just because the world did. And we were fortunate that Florida gave us the opportunity to keep training.
Yeah, it's amazing because Dan and I were chatting about this just before we went on air. Did you know that LA is masking up again as of tomorrow?
No, I didn't know that, but I could see that. I do stay tuned with the news in Oregon still a little bit because we actually just sold our house last year there and or last month. And I do see that even Oregon, they just very recently came out of like the stage one and they're probably going to go back into lockdown too. They're pretty strict there.
That's nuts, isn't it?
It's crazy. Yeah, I know. Some of the rules, just kind of like following some of the rules that Oregon had. You couldn't have more than six people in a gym. And that was like the entire, like an entire 24-hour fitness could be open, but you could only have six people in there. So like not even enough to have just employees.
When you're training, how many people are you typically training with? Like how many people are in your gym?
It depends. You know, we came out here for American Top Team and honestly, Dan Lambert did a really good job to follow all the guidelines. He shut the whole gym down. It was only pros could go in there. And then he paid for us all to be COVID tested. So he made sure all of us got tested so we could still train together. We followed all the guidelines, but we were fortunate enough that there was plenty of pro athletes for us to continue training.
Right on. I know this is going to sound like an odd question, but how does one train for bare knuckle boxing? Because that's where you're at. I happen to watch the first fights out of curiosity because I'm a casual MMA guy where I don't like the wrestling. I want to see people get punched in the face over and over and over again. Yeah. That's why I love bare knuckle boxing. Like I was a huge fan from like the first fight I watched. I was like, oh shit. People can
for
really,
sure. And yeah. And if like for people like you, that's what I tell them about like bare knuckle boxing and BKFC. The show is made for the fans, like the casual fans who know nothing about fighting. Everybody can enjoy the fights, but specifically it builds this audience of people who have never watched fighting before and aren't necessarily into it, don't know anything about fighting, and they're going to enjoy themselves watching these. Every second of every round is like extreme fireworks, exciting chaos, and you don't see, which I do appreciate, obviously jujitsu and wrestling and that stuff, but for people who don't understand how technical wrestling is and how much of a big deal it is for a grown man to be able to physically hold another grown man down, if you don't like that, then you know bare knuckle is definitely perfect for you.
Dan loves holding another grown man down.
Yeah, with no context,
nothing whatsoever. No context, just holding him down, and then he'll just walk
loves
away.
It. Yeah,
he'll find a stranger nice. On the street and just hold him down, and then just kind of walk away after that.
Yeah, I mean it's For me, it's therapeutic. I don't know what it does for them. I never really thought about it, to be honest.
No, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But with you in particular, like, I'm sure you get this comment all the time where it's just like, hey, you're super hot. Do you really want to ruin your face like that? Because I get it all the time as well, and obviously with my looks. Yeah, and yeah. It's one of those things where I had to give it up, obviously. But
had to.
But for you,
but it's like they say, you got the perfect face for radio, right?
Come on. This is, I'm still okay looking at this point.
Yeah, for me, it's the Bush Light hat with the coffee stains on it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of coffee in the old Patterson household here. So you're welcome for that. But no, for yep. you, like, I'm sure, like, your parents, your husband or somebody, have they never said, Paige, do you want to risk it all and be in bare knuckle boxing?
So, okay, you know, when I started training, I was a 14, 15 year old kid, right? So if I had a grown adult come to me and say, hey, you're too pretty to fight, that'd be really creepy, right? Like, to tell a child they're too attractive to train when I was a child. So when I was a child training, I didn't, you know, that never came into a conversation. Now all of a sudden I've matured into a woman or grown, I've just grown up. And now it's like somewhat a conversation, whereas I'm still the same kid who started training. Now I'm just older. So no, for me, it makes no difference. And I've been fortunate enough that, no, I haven't gotten hurt a lot. Nobody likes to get hurt. Of course, the plan is to not get punched in the face.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you look like. You don't want to get hit in the face. But no, I don't think about that at all. I'm too concerned with enjoying my best life to worry about what my face looks like.
See, so and the reason I ask and bring it up is I have two kids, right? I've got two boys, pretty little children, right? I don't know how smart they're going to be, because one is kind of like baby Gronk. He just kind of runs into walls and all that shit. And I'm like, look, man, protect the money maker, because that could make you some money later on in life if you're not like the smartest child. So maybe not run into the walls with your face over and over again. That's what I tell him. Protect the moneymaker. I just, because I worry about it, you know?
Okay. I would guess, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and our producer Giorgio, who is a fighter as well, or was rather a wrestler, might have something to say about this. But I would think that in a bare knuckle competition, people would be a little bit less likely to punch you directly in the face unless they knew it was going to be a knockout shot. Like, I wouldn't be jabbing people in the fucking jawbone and breaking my goddamn hand in the first part of the fight. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
So Paige, the first fight I watched, that person's lip almost ripped right off their face.
Yeah. So, but you know, you're on the right track with that, but no, you absolutely were going to for face shots. Of course you don't want to break your hands like first thing, but you want to cut the other person open. Mm-hmm. You want to hit them as much as possible, hit them as many times as possible in the face. That's, you know, the whole goal of fighting is you want to knock the other person out. You want to cut them open so the fight can't continue. And in those moments, it's like, I don't know, maybe fighters are a different breed of human. You don't feel when you break things, right? You just continue on. It's just a part of the fight game. Hands heal, faces heal, scars heal. But you only get one life, and you might as well make as much money as possible and do what you love doing.
Right. No, but you can't make as much money if you've got broken metacarpals every fight.
Yeah.
That's just not conducive to fighting 2 to 3 times a year.
Not at all. And I love that you're in it. I mean, it is crazy to me that you got into this. I mean, Giorgio, do we have a camera on Papa G back there? Pull off your headphones real quick, Georgia.
By the way,
show her the ears. Show her the ears.
It's pretty far away, and she's seen a ton of cauliflower ear in her life. But Paige, one actual question. Do you notice a big difference between fighting in 4 ounce gloves versus hand wraps, and then the 2 minute rounds versus the 5 minute rounds as well? Can you talk on that a little bit?
Yeah, good question. So the difference between like 4 ounce gloves, what I wear for an MMA fight, and bare knuckle is obviously they just wrap our wrists for bare knuckle, so our knuckles are still exposed. And there's just statistics out there, even with bare knuckle boxing, people are breaking their hands less than in MMA fights, right? It's a lot of technique. The way you break your hands is by not punching specific places on someone's head. Like, your forehead is much harder than your jaw. And there's certain points you want to try to avoid, but at the same time, it's also how you punch. If you throw a punch with proper technique, it's very rare that you're going to break your hand. Whereas if you throw it improperly and hit the wrong spot on someone's head, you can break your, you know, break your hand. So, but I mean, and on the other side of it is a broken hand isn't really a big deal that heals. It's a broken hand. And then if you break your arm, or if you take a knee to the face, a shin to the face, an elbow to the face, any of those things, if you get your, you know, arm torn off in an MMA fight, I feel like bare knuckle is actually less dangerous long term. It might have more physical damage as far as like blood, but long term damage with your career, it's way less damaging.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, we just came back from the McGregor fights, and I think three out of what the last six fights we've covered, somebody's broken a leg in half. Where you're just like, I mean, gruesome injuries. So, yeah, there's something to that for sure. One question my wife had for you, because she's a fan as well. She wanted to know whether it was, if it's harder to get into a ring, or was it harder on Chopped? She watches Chopped nonstop.
Yes. Yeah, I was fortunate enough. I competed on Chopped. I did win, so I'm a Chopped champion.
Yep.
No, Chopped was like a passion of mine. I love cooking. I kind of thought that I would grow up and be like a famous chef or own a restaurant, but obviously my career went a different direction. I still cook all the time. I took culinary classes in college, and Chopped was an awesome experience and a ton of fun. So it wasn't really hard. I felt like after the first round, I got a sense of like everybody else's capabilities. I was competing against other professional athletes, not necessarily chefs. So I kind of knew I had it in the bag, just because I know how good of a cook I am.
I would be nervous on that one because of Ted Allen, right? Like the dude from Queer Eye. He's just so sharp and polished all the time, and I feel like any criticism from him would just devastate me.
Yeah.
Like he's like an old gay dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, oh, I'm disappointed.
He was awesome. Honestly, he was so nice. The whole cast, the whole crew, they were honestly really nice.
He's from Columbus, by the way. So it's really between him and Guy Fieri, right? For mayor of Columbus.
No, we're all Flavortown there.
I mean, I think they should have to have some kind of Food Network showdown.
Yeah, I agree.
To see what you name, what would the name be for Allen though? I mean, obviously Flavortown for Fieri, what would Allen go with?
Yeah, I mean, you just call it Flame On. I think it fits both, but you know.
Well, that's fine. Probably copyright infringement for the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, right? It's true.
We're going to have to get in touch with our attorneys. We'll be back with you on this.
Yeah, we'll get back to you, Paige. Good. We'll let you know on that. Because we're watching it all the time at our household. Is the pressure and the cutaways and the clocks and all that stuff, like, is that real? Or are you finished with the meal, like, with, like, 10 minutes left?
That's relatively real. I think there was one round where both myself and maybe it was the final two, we were both completely done. And then they still wanted us to like put our hands up when the time was over.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of
just goofy. To like get that sense of the round is over. I think we had both finished a little bit early.
Okay.
Other than that, everything is absolutely real. I mean, you'll do a few takes, right? Where they're like, all right, competitors, are you ready? And you actually like open a fake basket just to get the shot. And then once the clock starts, it's a real basket and you freaking go. And it's, you know, it's totally real.
Yeah, that's just set dressing though. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Do you remember your ingredients?
For the most part, I think it was a while ago, but I know I had like some crazy ingredients. Like I had ranch flavored soda.
Oh, what the fuck?
So I had to incorporate that. Some sort of like fancy cut of meat. I don't know. I don't remember exactly, but I remember what I made.
Have you seen this? Apparently Kraft mac and cheese is making an ice cream. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
I don't know. Terrible idea across the board.
I can't imagine. Why would that be a thing?
Who knows?
I saw that sold out though, like really quickly. So there's people buying it.
I'm sure people are going to buy some dumb shit like that.
But yeah. You're combining the two most fattening things in America of ice cream and Kraft cheese. Like, do you remember that Heart Attack burger came out too? I was first in line to get that thing. I was like, well, will it really kill me?
Who put that out?
I think it was Hardee's. Southern thing.
So I didn't see that.
I went after it.
But I mean, look, what does that mean? Heart Attack Burger, that's still based on nutritional information from the 1950s.
I think it was 1,650 calories.
That's fine. Like that. Unless it had like 500 to 600 calories of just bread, then it's not going to give you a heart attack probably.
So. Yeah. Are you on a strict diet, by the way, for bare knuckle boxing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so there's like boxers, I feel like cut less weight. So that's like something I had to work with my striking coach with. Like, oh, I actually still cut a lot of weight like MMA fighters do. So, yeah, I'm dieting pretty hard right now. As I would for any fight.
Yeah. And you're exclusive now with bare knuckle boxing. That, like, you're all in. That's it.
I'm all in. It's relatively exclusive, right? So they'll let me do other opportunities that are going to help build myself. I'll forever be BKFC. I'll continue to be a bare knuckle boxer. But they're also open to the idea of me exploring other avenues to help, you know. I feel like they're an amazing organization, as they understand the bigger I get, the bigger they get. I'll always be a representation of their company and continue fighting for them while I'm on my contract. But then they also know that if a huge other super fight comes up, they're going to be all about it.
Yeah. Which do you enjoy more?
Are you going to fight Jake Paul?
Yeah.
You know, not going to fight Jake Paul. I don't know that we can get that sanctioned.
Yeah. Well, look, we were at the Logan Paul fight. That wasn't sanctioned. So. Let's see it.
That's true. And that was Showtime put that on too.
Yeah, Showtime put that on. Which do you prefer? MMA, like UFC or bare knuckle boxing?
Right now, boxing. Honestly, there's different elements of each that I absolutely love. I grew up doing MMA. It's always nice to find a new passion though. And I feel like once you find something new, you kind of get obsessed with it. It's like a new hobby or a new project. And right now I just feel like I'm making so much growth in boxing and striking specifically that this growth will carry me through any other career I choose to do as far as in the combat sports world. So I love boxing, and my full focus and passion is in boxing right now. Love the bare knuckle aspect of it, but I also know that I'm loving just straight boxing. So I'm open to taking boxing matches as well.
Yeah. And I would have to imagine it's a little easier because your focus is on one thing rather than wrestling, jiu-jitsu and striking. Like now you can just focus on striking, right?
Yeah. So it's actually like, I feel like it's easier, but it's also harder. Like I feel like boxing is like chess, right? You have to be a master at the game, and it's extremely technical. Whereas MMA might have more elements to it, but you can get by being very good at everything. In boxing, you have to be great at one thing. So it's pretty easy to get exposed if you're, you know, all you're doing out there is striking. Whereas you can see a lot of people go into MMA and just carry themselves because they're amazing at one thing. And you can be, you know, good at everything in MMA, but you have to be great at boxing.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, Ben Askren and those guys, like, I still look, and I called this a while ago with Tyron Woodley, I think he's going to lose to Jake Paul as well, simply because it's boxing, and you've got to be focused on boxing. That kid has been focused on it for, you know, the better part of 3 years now, and that's all he's been working on.
There's a big difference there. Ben Askren was the boxer, and he's Ben Askren was a wrestler and just a wrestler his entire career. Tyron Woodley working his ass off, and he is completely focused for this fight. It's completely different. Like, you put Ben Askren, who was never a good striker ever in his entire career, in there against someone who's been focused on boxing, of course you're going to see that result. Whereas Tyron Woodley was a UFC champion who was a good striker, and now he's just honing in, and he's completely focused for this fight. So I completely disagree with you there, but you can have your own opinion on that one.
Who's gonna win? Who do you think's gonna win?
Tyron Woodley's gonna win. If you go watch the videos of Jake Paul hitting pads in comparison to Tyron, it's a big difference, night and day.
Dan, who do you got?
That's a good question. I really don't know. I don't know who will win that fight.
I'm all in on Jake Paul.
I mean, I think the difference between MMA and boxing, when you're talking about honing in on one specific skill, it's almost like how the Romans would train soldiers from other countries once they brought them into like if you bought their land or if you took over their land or whatever. They went from being freestyle fighters to operating within the Roman phalanx, right? So it's like people would learn how to fight that way, and then the gladiatorial arts as well, they're katas, right? There's like a 4 or 6 or 10 part movement that you do. And the reason you do it is because that's the most likely striking point for anything. So you're not necessarily making up your mind on every single jab or every single thing. Like, you do that to measure the waters, but then you throw your fucking five punch kata or whatever it is, right? It's and knowing when to do that, knowing what the counter looks like before it happens, and recognizing the counter's coming before it comes, and then being able to react to that and step to the side and then hit the jar, whatever it is, right, is a whole different ball game in boxing.
Yeah.
Than it is in MMA, because you can't get taken down and all this other stuff, right? Yeah. So I think it's a guy that's been training specifically boxing like that, like Paul has for the last 5 years, probably does have an advantage in that way against Tyron Woodley, no matter how hard he's working right now. But Woodley's a professional fighter. Right?
Oh, Paige is laughing.
That's
dude.
A big. There's
She's
a big
laughing.
There's a big, big difference between Ben Askren and Tyron Woodley, right?
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree. You're laughing, Paige. Why are you laughing here? I'd tell you what. What's your favorite charity?
My favorite charity?
Yeah. What do you have a charity?
Yeah, I would say the USO. I went on a USO tour, so.
Oh, great.
I like to contribute to the USO.
Dan was in the military for many years.
Awesome.
I tell you what, here's how confident I am. I'll bet you $1,000 to whatever charity you want. I'm all in on Jake Paul.
I'll bet you $10,000 on Tyron Woodley.
10 grand?
10,000 to the USO.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right.
We'll do 10K to the USO, okay? That's crazy. Do you know something that I don't know? Are you watching training? Is he down there?
Tyrone's my teammate. So yeah, I do have a little bit of insider information on this one.
No shit. God.
We have the same striking coach. I'm with him in the gym every day. He is working his ass off. He's got his whole family here in Florida. His mom came. It's like they're all in. Tyron's all in. This isn't the same as the Ben Askren fight, right? He's all in on this one.
Oh, shit, dude. Did I just fucking lose 10K on this show to Paige?
I mean, we'll see. It's boxing. Anything will happen, but I'm going to tell you, Tyron's taking this fight very seriously.
No, Ross, the USO wins because they get $10,000.
Yes, yes, they do, absolutely. Regardless. Okay, so real quick here, since now that we know what we know, Giorgio, you can't see our producers, I don't believe, right? Can you see them?
No, I can't.
Okay, sorry about that. They're right off camera. Giorgio, who do you have in this?
I think Tyron's going to win. There's also a tattoo contract in place.
I heard that as well, yes.
And there's a rematch clause as well right away.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
There's also a 15-year age difference between the two.
Yes, yes, there is.
Quite a bit of size as well.
Yeah. Look, I'm all in on Jake Paul.
I actually think the size matters less in a boxing match than it does in an MMA match, right? Because you can't, like, that's not entirely true. You saw what Logan did to Mayweather. He was just leaning on him the whole time, trying to get him to tire out and carry his weight around. That's mm-hmm. a pretty...
There's not a size difference.
Weight, right?
No.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. There's a height difference. Jake is taller.
Like two or 3 inches, barely. But
no,
like
Jake is 6 foot two. What are you talking about? That's like 5 inches taller.
I think Jake is significantly taller.
Yeah.
Either way, it'll be fun. I know it's in Cleveland, Ohio. He's they're going home to do it. Man, I had no idea you were in the gym with him every day. Damn it, Paige. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's fine. But now at least when Jake wins, we can go back and watch the tape and be like, dude, Paige was so wrong. And she was working out with him every day.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
We will. We will. Let's talk about your opponents. How do you study for someone that is, you're in a relatively new sport where there's not a lot of tape,
right,
where you can go back and watch? How do you personally train for that, since this is such a brand new sport?
Yeah, and it's complicated as well, because you fought this person before. But
I have.
There's a 0% chance it will end the way it did before, because that's not how this new sport works.
Yes.
Right?
That's true.
So what
yeah.
the fuck?
So in bare knuckle boxing, really you want to focus on their striking. It's not that much different as far as like the preparation for the opponent you're fighting. There was elements of the bare knuckle boxing that are different than straight boxing. You can actually clinch, and you can't do that in boxing. You can't grab the back of the head and pull them down. All of those things you can do in bare knuckle. With Rachel, I'm fighting Rachel Ostovich. I fought her in the UFC. I finished her with an arm bar. So yeah, going into this one, it takes away just the small element of knowing. I know how hard she is. I know what power she brings. Mm. That's, I feel like, the one question fighters always have in their mind is like, oh, well, what if this person has knockout power? What if this person is like way stronger? Like, you think of all these like things you just really shouldn't stress about. But that's gone here, right? We both know each other. We know how hard each other can hit. We've faced each other in there before. So I just feel like going into this fight, you're going to see like for me, there's no way this fight's not insane and crazy, because there's a small sense of fear taken away for both of us. And, well, at least for me.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm excited to go out there and fight her and just show us just striking.
Paige, we've been throwing a lot of money around this show, and we got some sponsors who actually pay for ours to be on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinking bros. 30% off everything in the entire store. Everyone is talking about these new pillow toppers. The cooling element to these things is really hard to describe until you order them. The pillows themselves feel like 15 degrees cooler. Same with the toppers. And I know a lot of people are saying that about the new GhostBed 3D Matrix mattress as well. These things are incredible. If you sleep hot, GhostBed is a great place to cool down a little bit during the night. And right now, I believe they still left their 4th of July special up, so take advantage of it. There's some bundle packages in there for 40% off. They've got a zero down, zero interest program for 36 months. If you have decent credits, you can bundle all that together and then hop on out of there with like $35 a month for a new mattress set. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today and take advantage of them deals. Next up, we've got GetRoman.com/drinking bros. Look, kids, if you've been listening to the show for long enough, you know what Roman does. Takes care of your problems down south, the old ED, if you will. If something's off in the bedroom, well, check out fucking Roman, dude. What are you waiting for? Take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/drinking bros now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan available. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2 days shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/drinking bros and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/drinking bros now. You'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time you take care of your ED. And remember, get started today and you'll save $15 off your first order of ED treatments. By the way, Paige, none of us have that, okay? Maybe we use it recreationally. Yeah, we can't wait. And obviously, we're going to be watching it live that night with Chuck Liddell doing some commentating on it. But again, it's such a fresh new sport. You know, to go back again, I know you guys have fought before, but it would be nice probably to look at other fights where you're like, all right, I know she's got some other tricks in her bag. I just didn't see them in my fights, but maybe she did it in this other fight. It's so limiting. Are you not, no part of you is worried whatsoever that she's like, all right, great, I got to do something else?
I don't think so. I mean, there's only so much you can do, especially in bare knuckle boxing. There is the clinch element and then there's striking each other. I have full confidence in my striking in comparison to hers. So I feel like the few elements in stand up, right, are speed and power. And I feel like I have the advantage on both of those.
Yeah, I agree. And the first fight was, look, it's a blast. I love watching it. I think it's something that could really, really take off. Do you think more people from MMA, like we were at the McGregor fight, we were talking about Greg Hardy. Like, I think Greg Hardy would do better in bare knuckle boxing than he does in UFC.
It's too hard to be 30 years old or 32 years old or whatever and learn all three elements of MMA.
Correct. Do you think more people are going to switch and come over to bare knuckle boxing?
I do. You know, when I had initially signed with them, the only real fighter that we had known be really successful in bare knuckle or make at least a statement in BKFC was Artem Lobov, and his fight was actually absolutely amazing. So looking to it, where when they came and they offered me a contract, I was like, oh, you know what, maybe let's see about this one. And we did our research, and I was like, yeah, this is who I want to fight for. This is who I want to sign with. I love the organization, the boss, the company. And then after I made the switch, people were like, oh, this is a legit organization. And I feel like we've already seen so many more people make the switch to be KFC. And hopefully, I mean, I was part of that conversation just to get them to switch. And I do think more people are going to go over. And it's right, like people like, I want to say Greg Hardy. Is it Greg Hardy or Dan Hardy?
Greg Hardy. Yeah.
Greg Hardy would do so well in it because he does have that power. Mm-hmm. And when you see like heavyweights like him, obviously, I think the gas tank was an issue. And these are 2-minute rounds, and someone who can, he can make it 2-minute rounds, and he hits extremely hard. So I see him being extremely successful at bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah. Are you like actively recruiting anyone at all? Like on the female side?
No, I'm not. I feel like, I, of course I would love BKFC to continue to sign really big athletes, but I think it's just going to happen by itself and completely organically. They have done so well building the organization. Even since I signed with them, they've completely grown and pulled in some superstars. So I think they're going to be able to just take care of it themselves. And I'm just happy that I jumped on board right in the early stages, and I'm going to build with them.
Yeah, I agree. Because again, it's super exciting to watch, and it takes the elements of the lay and pray out of it for me. So I love watching it. How do you think like Cyborg would do in something like that?
Chris Cyborg would do amazing. Yeah. She's a powerhouse, right? You have to see, think of like the people who are going to do really well in bare knuckle boxing are going to be these like powerhouse strikers, people who are extremely, one, tough, because I don't know that anybody could last in this if you're not tough. Getting hit in the face with a bare fist, it does feel different than getting hit with a glove. And people who are tough and people who hit hard and love striking. And I think Chris Cyborg would be right up in there. I don't know that I could think of anybody specific off the top of my head that wouldn't be great for bare knuckle boxing that isn't already a fighter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that for sure. Other fighters would be good. I mean, it would be full circle for Masvidal. Plus he's from Miami as well, but he started out bare knuckle in the back of in the backyards.
He was doing Kimbo Slice shit.
Yeah.
Bare knuckle MMA league that he's working with.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. He's got game bred. It's bare knuckle MMA.
Yeah. I mean, they'll look it. Let's be real. BKFC will probably buy that at some point.
I would say they were merging because there's a bunch of them out there. Yeah. Like
they'll just buy it at some point. BKFC's got the money. So
BKFC and GameBred, BKFC or GameBred is actually streamed through BKFC's app. So I see Masvidal building it as much as possible. But they already are in the same communication.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever fight in it, but definitely that's where he came from. So that would be interesting. And I think about a lot of the sub top 10 talent in the UFC. They're still good fighters. They just they're not that kind of good fighter. Maybe. Be interesting to see those people come over. I don't think there's going to be a celebrity element to it though. Like I don't think a lot of athletes.
There is. Blueface is on the undercard, right?
He's actually not doing bare knuckle, right? So the whole undercard is actually like the YouTube TikToker situation. These like social people are boxing each other. So I don't know. Boxing has created this wave of momentum and is really growing. Globally, just on like a social media aspect. So I do see other stars coming in and boxing each other.
I mean, goddamn, I can't think of two celebrities that would get into the ring bare knuckle, honestly.
Ooh, that's a great question. I can't either. Can you name somebody that would probably hop in there celebrity wise bare knuckle?
Bare knuckle. I mean, the only celebrity I can think of and BJ Baldwin, I don't know if he's
in yeah
the
but
he's a he's a formula, but he has the Baja truck.
Yeah, he drives the Baja trucks. Yeah, one our co-host owns Black Rifle Coffee, or he's one of the owners rather. So they sponsor his truck, I think. BJ's a good dude, so but yeah,
It would have to be like a badass,
like an action sports person. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah, but not like an actor. Come on, you get your fucking head caved in, you're done.
Yeah, right? That's it.
I mean, if BJ Baldwin's nose gets broken and looks a little fucked up, he's got a second badass story to tell for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's fine.
I could see Wiz Khalifa has been training like crazy, the rapper.
Yeah. So speaking of which, like I saw he's been doing like all kinds of crazy MMAs in the best shape of his life. He was on the Masked Singer the other night. another fan fave of my child, is that thing. And I saw him on there, and like, I get, apparently he's taking it super seriously. I wonder if guys like that give it a shot.
It'd be nice there, to see
so
it.
Much money now being made, especially opening it up with the Jake Paul sitch and the Paul brothers and everything else. Let me ask you about the pay for yourself versus the UFC. Do you get paid more in bare knuckle boxing?
Yeah, I was pretty open about that. You know, I explored free agency. And my contract with UFC came to an end. I fought the whole contract out and I became a free agent. And yeah, I mean, bare knuckle offered me a contract that was, significantly bigger than the UFC. And I was really happy about it, but more than anything, I'm seeing that the money is there. It's not necessarily, you know, the UFC is this huge powerhouse and they've done amazing to help build my name. And they definitely have the brand recognition, but as far as making money, there is a ton of money out there in fighting, and it is taking maybe these super fights the way Tyron is taking, you know, a super fight, getting the best payday of his life. Me and bare knuckle, they definitely saw my value, and they said I'm worth every penny they paid. So it's been great.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Would you ever fight Thug Rose in bare knuckle boxing?
I don't know that she'll come over to bare knuckle boxing.
But if she did, like, let's say you were to combine it. Do you think you'd have a better shot in bare knuckle boxing?
We'll see. If the opportunity presents itself, that would be a conversation. But I respect Rose as a friend at this point, so I don't like to make those comparisons with friends of mine.
No, not at all. But I feel like that's kind of the new wave, and we've been talking about it on this show for the last 6 months, is kind of mixing people together for these mega fights, because there is so much money out there that, well, it's like...
That's also why UFC was invented in the first place. Well, one of the reasons was to see what the best martial art was, or whatever the fuck. It turned out that was a ridiculous question to ask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people do like to see things juxtaposed against one another. Certainly, it makes it way more interesting. Like, the nuanced, intelligent fan is going to say, oh, well, this person's good at this, this, and this person's really good at this, this, and this. So if you, like, what's the strategy that each one's going to use to mitigate the other person's strength and maximize their... and maximize their strength, right? I think that shit's really fucking interesting, to be honest.
So do I, and that's what got me hooked on the first one when I came in. It was Pauly Maggiani. That's what I paid money for. And then I, you know, ended up watching all the undercards as well, and I was like, oh my God, this is dope. But I had thrown the money at Pauly because he was a boxer, you know, using huge gloves and then coming in there, and I was like, man, I wonder if that translates. Were you there for that first fight?
No, I wasn't there.
Because I wondered, like, you know, since you were just kind of breaking ground on the sport, if you were in the audience and you saw it and you were like, oh, shit, I don't know about this.
No, the first fight I went to, I did go to one fight before I actually fought for BKFC, and I had the opposite reaction. I was like, dang, this is what I'm made for. And throughout my entire UFC career, you could definitely say that toughness carried me through a lot of fights. It was a lot tougher than a lot of people I fought. And I mean, I fought through, I shattered my entire arm in the middle of a fight and ended up going and winning the third round. I was being arm barred on the arm I broke. And I just feel like there's this element of toughness that fighters for BKFC have that you have to have to be able to compete. And I feel like I have that. And yeah, seeing the first BKFC fight, I was like, yep, this is cool. This is what I'm meant to do.
Yeah, because my reaction was when I was watching Pauly, I was like, he'll never go back and do this again. You know, because it's just so intense that you're just like, all right, man. It seemed like a one and done sitch for him. And I just wondered, you know, sitting there watching it for the first time again, because it is so new. It feels like you're at an old Irish bar in New York City in the late 1800s.
Well, it's funny because BKFC had the first sanctioned bare knuckle fight in America. A couple of years ago, since 1889, I believe was the last
one.
So literally the fucking gangs of New York.
That's what it felt like to me. And again, I was hooked. Who else is on the undercard for this fight?
The undercard. I know there's like the social aspect of it. So I know that there's like the blue face is fighting a TikToker. There's an entire like undercard full of social social people. I truly don't know. Honestly, I know I'm supposed to show up and fight, and that's pretty much all I pay attention to.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you ever, like, you know, you popped in and were like, all right, cool, I want to see so-and-so fight so-and-so, or how that works. Like, on movies, we'll stay and watch scenes that we're just not in just because we want to see other actors. And I wondered if it was the same for you.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm curious about the whole, like, social fights. I went to, there was the... an event called Social Gloves, and it was in all social media. It was like TikTok versus YouTube, and it was some of the very biggest YouTube stars fighting some of the best TikTokers. And I was extremely interested, just based on, I wanted to see if they were taking it seriously. I wanted to see if it was gonna be like real fights. What exactly was gonna happen when you're taking these people who aren't fighters and having them fight each other? And it was honestly a ton of fun to watch. I had an amazing time, and they put on a really good show. So the undercard, I definitely am. I'm interested in.
Yeah, because there's this odd curiosity about it where you're like, all right, what's really going to happen here? We even tuned in for that Lamar Odom versus Aaron Carter thing because you're making weird guesses. I mean, one guy's 6'11", the other guy's 5'8", or whatever he is.
I have no idea.
It was exactly what we thought it was going to be. Of like, oh, you definitely can't reach that guy. I mean,
but those oddity matchups are still pretty interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Look, we bought it.
Like, I told this story. I don't remember what fucking show we were doing the other day, but we were going back and forth about whether someone would watch something. And my point was, if when you were in elementary school and someone starts fighting or even says the word fight, everybody instinctively makes a circle around them and watches. Mm-hmm. Right? It's human nature to watch that shit. So if you put any kind of athletic talent up against any other kind of athletic talent, people are going to watch.
Right? Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
Especially if there's violence involved.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other side of it is everybody thinks they can fight. I would say like 90% of the population is like, yeah, I could fight, I'm tough. And they like, it's like everyone thinks they're a good driver. Everybody thinks like, oh, I could be, there's somebody in their life that they could be up. And I think that's why we're seeing so many of these celebrities come through and be like, I want to fight, because everybody feels like they can. And I think that's what makes it exciting, is people do want to tune in and see what actually is going to happen.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And because of your celebrity and who you are, obviously you've had all these crazy opportunities in life. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Dancing with the Stars. Chuck Liddell, Chuck Liddell was on that as well. And when we were doing a show in Dallas together, he was like, dude, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. So I actually grew up, I had a dance background. My parents owned a dance studio. So I had never done ballroom, but I knew how to count music. I kind of knew what I was doing. And going into it, I feel like I was the only celebrity to go on this show and actually gain weight. Like everybody else, the training was so much harder. They're like, oh, I've never trained this hard in my life. But for me, I was like, all I have to do is dance and I just get to go home. And for me, that side of it was easy. And I just had so much fun. It wasn't, you know, wasn't really like work for me. The hardest part about the show was just the, like the filming process, having to have a microphone on you 24/7 and having a camera or four or five cameras in your face constantly. I mean, regardless of what people think, I actually do not enjoy that. So being like watching your mouth for 11 hours and being like, oh, did I cuss 11 hours ago? What did I say 11 hours ago that they're then going to use against me on TV? So you never, that was the hardest part for me.
Yeah. And then you also have a book, you had a biography.
I came out as well a few years ago.
Yeah. Back in what, 2018, I think.
I think 2018. Yep.
Yeah. How did you enjoy that? Because we have a lot of writers on the show. I'm a writer. And, the toughest thing about a biography is you have to be so honest and open about your life. Did you enjoy that experience or no?
I did enjoy it. For me, it was therapeutic, honestly. And I had been kind of writing my thoughts and journaling since I was 14 years old. So it was like, I had this compile and this big, I kept it in like a pencil box, and I had all these notebooks of like stories throughout my whole life of what I was feeling, and writing for me was such an outlet. So then when it came time, I kind of started putting things together. And the hardest part was then working with an editor and saying like, oh, well, this is an important part for me. And then being like, oh, actually this is more relevant. I think we'll connect with the audience more. It was just kind of picking and choosing what to put in and what to put out. Cause I couldn't put in like six huge books of everything that I had written in one autobiography. But it was an amazing experience. I loved the end result that I came up with. And I felt like it was an easy read, but so relatable to so many people.
Yeah, no, it was great. Some people are good at it. Some people aren't good at it, but because you have to be so honest and open about it.
Yeah.
And because if you're not, then it just reads like some fucking bullshit narrative of like, oh yeah, there's the girl who did this and this and this.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to make sure it was like, still there's, I mean, I feel like I speak in a certain way and I wanted to make sure you could hear my voice. I wasn't going to try to like fluff it up too much and use too big of words to try to say, make myself sound smarter. I wanted it to be really authentic. And I feel like the end result was exactly that.
Yeah. And then one of the things you talked about in the book was your love of hunting and shooting and stuff like that with your dad. Are you still hunting and everything?
Not as much, obviously. I feel like once I moved out of Oregon, I continued my like career. I haven't been able to go. My husband and I are actually going back to Alaska here in August, where he's from. And we're going to try to do a little bit of, I think we'll be there for moose hunting season. So try to get some moose and provide for his family while we're there. But no, haven't gone hunting. I haven't really done a whole lot since my career took off.
How is moose? I don't think I've ever had it.
I mean, it's
this is good.
Yeah, it's
is
good. It? It's the same as bison or anything like that.
Is it really? I've yeah. never had it.
They're just like they have giant muscle pack with that, not a lot of fat on it, to be honest. So it's, I mean, it's really good, high quality protein.
How much do those things weigh?
I don't know, 1,200 pounds.
A few tons, probably.
Man, is it weird that I'd love to see you just walk up and punch a moose in the face, just
bare knuckle,
just bare knuckle.
They're very aggressive animals, honestly. So I feel like a moose could kill you.
Oh yeah, they're dicks.
Yeah, but yeah. I think your right cross would take down a moose. Is that weird to say?
Yeah, it's retarded what you just said.
No, dude, I think she could take down a moose with a bare hand. No. How much? How much would it take you to take a swing?
I think they're like 10 feet tall.
No, they're like somewhere between, I think, 5 and 7 feet tall. And in some cases, the larger ones can get up to like 7 feet. And I think they're somewhere between
huge.
Like 900 and 1,500 pounds for males, I think. So it's a big ass fucking animal.
Okay.
You don't want to fuck around. And Mongo punched that cow, though. Or no, I guess it was a bull. He punched that bull in the face in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
So that was a documentary.
Ah, yeah, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it go down.
I don't know. I mean, what do we got to fucking do another USO charity thing? What the fuck's going on here?
God, I think that's next, right? I think after all the
they did that shit back in the 70s and 80s. People were like racing zebras and shit. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like professional athletes, people from the previous Olympics
I think
were racing against animals and shit. When are we going to have like a dude get in the ring with a goddamn silverback gorilla? Or it's like four dudes, but they've got baseball bats or something. I don't know, man.
I don't think we're that far away from this. I know it sounds crazy, but like Dan was saying, what was it? I think it was Wild World of Sports.
Yeah, I think it was in 89 after the 88 Olympics or something like that. And they had dudes on, it was on a track and then on a big ass green field. I could see it in my head now where a dude was racing a gazelle or some shit like that or a fucking zebra. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Obviously, it wasn't a cheetah. I mean, for that race, you just tie a stake to the back of the dude's ass there and this fucking, all right, start running, buddy.
Yeah.
And then the cheetah mauls him, and obviously that's how that ends. You can't race. My point is you can't race a goddamn cheetah versus a person. So it was some other kind of animal that doesn't just randomly attack people.
Because Michael Phelps swam against that shark, what was it, 2 years ago for Shark Week?
Did he really?
Yeah.
So I think we're close. I think the shark won.
So does the shark like get all his gold medals?
Yeah. I saw the shark with the gold medal on afterwards. So,
it's hard time for sharks now. So they're probably gonna end up at the pawn shop, right?
Yeah, it's tough out there for a shark.
Yeah, sharks they've got a lot of drug problems, I hear these days.
Yeah,
because of all the bad press from Shark Week, they're like, man, is that what I am? I'm just a fucking monster, and then they start feeling like a goddamn monster.
Actually, the shark had its wing stripped. Its T levels were too high.
PEDs for the shark. Yeah.
That's too bad. That's too bad. It was using a combination of pine tar and whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Suntan lotion.
You're flyweight, Paige, right?
Flyweight. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the weight on that?
I like it's 125. I like how fighting is the only place on earth where it's appropriate to ask a woman how much she weighs.
Exactly. And that's the only time we've ever get to do that on this show.
Yeah. Didn't ask how much I weigh. Asked what weight class I fight.
Yeah, it's true. Fair enough.
So
yeah.
I weigh in. Yes, I weigh in at 125. That is not how much I weigh.
All right. So let's go this route here, Paige. Okay. You in a cage versus a 125-pound bear. Both of you have to weigh in. I'm assuming it's like a cup.
The bear's got to wear gloves because claws are an unfair advantage.
Correct. Do you think you could knock out a bear at your same weight?
At my same weight, it'd have to be a baby bear, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
so what you're saying?
I don't know. It'd be cute. I don't know if I could punch a bear.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. For $10 million, cute. Could you punch a bear in a ring for $10 million? No. A $10 million purse.
I don't think I could.
The average, I just want everyone, the average male black bear.
Yep.
100, quite the range, 130 to 660 pounds. Female black bear is only 90 to 180 pounds.
Okay, perfect. So at a catch weight, we get the bear at a catch weight of 130.
Catch weight.
Yeah.
Look at that dog. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's really asking for attention right now.
What's your dog's name?
His name is Dennis.
Oh, Dennis?
Dennis.
Why Dennis? Yeah. Are you an Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan?
No, actually, he's a rescue, and I got him from the pound. And for whatever reason, the pound named him Fennis.
Okay.
And I don't know what that comes from. And I was like, I don't like Fennis. So I went with Dennis because it was the closest thing to Fennis.
There's a American professional basketball player named Fennis Dembo.
Yeah.
Maybe it was after that.
Or maybe it was his dog, and he just hated it and threw it out in the streets.
Could be. Yeah.
It's a rescue, right?
Yeah. So let's go find this guy. He lives in Alabama. I think.
Oh, does he live in Alabama? Yeah. Where'd you get the dog at?
Reno, Nevada.
Ah, good luck there.
Yeah.
There's probably 80 Fennises that live in Reno, Nevada, who are smoking meth right now, playing penny slots, and they just the dog wandered off. Let me ask you this. Who is your toughest opponent in UFC?
Toughest opponent. I feel like I've fought everybody I fought is tough. I feel like I can pride myself at the end of the day. Anybody I've ever beaten or lost to has been extremely talented, and I fought the best of the best. One person, of course, stands out where I've never been hit in a fight. This is the only ever time where I was like, holy shit, I do not want to get hit like that ever again. And that was against Rose.
Really?
Stuck me, which is crazy, right? Because she doesn't look like this meathead muscle chick. But yeah, she absolutely, that's why technique is so important. She hit me with a straight jab. It cut my eye open. Mm. And that one was like, that's dangerous. You don't want to get hit with too many of those.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting that you said her. You're right. That's not the first person that comes to mind.
No.
Mm-hmm. Do you still keep up with it? Like, do you watch every single UFC fight and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. We watch every UFC fight, every Bellator card. We pretty much watch all fights that are on TV, and we bet on most fights, too. So.
Oh, hell yeah. So do we.
Yeah. We're sports bettors.
Yeah, same. Do you know your odds on your fight?
No, I don't check that kind of stuff.
You are a liar. You are an absolute liar.
No, I don't actually know. I would assume that I am the favorite. Well, I have already beaten her.
On the fight website, that's FITE.com, by
correct.
The way. I don't have it up now, but I looked at it before. I think it's it has like a yes, no, or a fucking who you think is going to win at the bottom, and you were like 80. It was 81-19 in your favor. So people that watch this obviously think they're going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. So
pretty
what you,
significant, yeah.
What do you bet on then if you're not betting on yourself? Do they let you do that? Would they let you do that in bare knuckle? Like, would they let you go in and bet on yourself?
I don't think you can bet on yourself.
You should only be able to bet on yourself.
Yeah, Pete Rose, that's all he did was bet on himself, and it didn't turn out.
That's pretty cool.
Great for him.
No, we just bet on, we pretty much do parlays, right? So we do we bet, like last week we bet $10, and I think we did an 8-fight parlay and made $1,500. So
our guys did the same thing.
Oh, shit. Did you win all 8 fights?
We won all 8, yeah.
No way.
That's the deal. I mean, usually if you put in 10 or 20 bucks, you're looking at a 12 to 1800 return usually on those 8-fight parlays.
Yeah, Giorgio, how'd you do on your parlay? You had a 6. You had a 6-1.
Wonderboy let me down.
And that was the only one?
And Nico Price.
Okay. The Nico Price was a weird one, though. That guy kind of ran around for the last, you know. He didn't want any smoke at the end of that fight, so. He made all the smoke. Look, Who knows? Do you bet on college football at all?
I don't. My husband bets on pretty much everything.
Yeah, yeah. So do we over here. Yeah. We're heavy gamblers on this show.
Nice.
To say the least. And we're always checking odds on it. Pop Bob, pull up the odds on page on MyBookie and see what they are. I'd be real curious as to what they are, because we'll be betting on this, and then we'll be live betting on your fight as well. Have you noticed a difference in live betting as you're going around? Because I feel like that's the hot new trend that everybody's doing.
Is the live betting? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I get too invested. I like to do all my picks like an hour before the fight starts, and then I just open it up at the end of the fights and see how much money I made or if I'm up or down. So I get so invested in fights, I don't know that I could live.
When we're at home watching or here in the studio covering it or something like that, I'll bet like 10 minutes before the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep making the mistake of thinking I can do that when I'm in an arena with 80,000 goddamn people and the cell service sucks.
Every time.
Yeah. It happened to me twice last week, and I was so fucking pissed. And then I just, after that, I put in my bets for the rest of the fights for the night. But, you know, I like to see him, their walkout and shit. That's data. Like, yeah. I knew as soon as Conor came out, I was like, this dude's getting fucking crushed. Like, you could tell as soon as he walked. And I said the same thing in 2016 against Khabib. We were there for that one as well. As soon as he did his walkout, I'm like, this dude's about to get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like, badly.
Did you want the lines? What'd you want?
What do we got for Paige?
For Paige for this coming fight?
Yeah.
Paige VanZant -200, Rachel Ostovich +160.
That's a lot closer than we thought, though. Paige,
How many rounds do these fights go?
It's 5 2-minute rounds.
5 2-minute rounds, okay. And do they have prop bets on there, Bob, for which round it's going to be?
Not yet.
Okay,
not cool. Yet. The prop bets aren't up yet. Okay, -200, Paige. It's a little disrespectful. I feel. I thought you'd be 5-1. To be honest with you.
You're not going to find a fight 5-1 in a sport that's new like this.
But she's already beat her.
Yeah, but she beat her with a guy. She had her stretched out with her arm over her head, not punched in the face with her bare knuckles.
Yeah, no,
not that there's not a chance of
progress.
I could still see it in my head the way you armbarred. It was really interesting. Like you,
it was a slick little belly. It was a belly down armbar.
Yeah, you had her back and it's fucking stretched her ass out. It was really good. Anyways,
cool.
Punching people in the face. I'm just saying from Vegas's point of view,
mm-hmm.
like, how do you know who's going to be better at this new thing that, you know, you've done once, but I don't think she's had a bare knuckle fight, right? So it's not going to be 5-1 is what I'm saying. 2-1 is a lot of respect to her.
For sure.
It's a lot of respect.
I feel like you're disrespected, Paige.
Maybe I was expected to be 250, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like 2.5, but whatever.
Now I'm going to have to throw 10 G's on Paige in case I lose that Jake Paul fight.
Yeah.
I was not aware that you were training with Woodley. Jesus.
Well, you're only going to win 5 that, right? Oh, no, it's one. It's 160.
Yeah, I might have to throw some money on you. Because then...
It's a good bet to make.
It is, because if you... But if you lose twice and let us down on both sides, Paige, well, you know, we're taking the dog. Dan and I want the dog. Dan's got 2 dogs. My kids want a dog. I'm taking the dog.
He's not up for negotiation. Yeah. Sorry.
How long have you had him?
I've had him 8 years.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, you'll get used to it, obviously, but, you know, time heals all wounds is what my grandmother says.
No. Your grandmother's dead.
Yeah. R.I.P. She just died like 4 months ago, but.
That wasn't that long ago.
Oh, no.
It's like 2 months ago, wasn't it?
No, she died from the. It's terrible. This is a crazy show, by the way. Second COVID shot got her. That was what got her. She was 88.
Yikes.
Though. Yeah.
I mean,
oh, no.
If you're 88, if you're 88, you can die from fucking ingrown toenails and shit. So
yeah. But you know, the odd thing is we didn't know till like 2 months later when they were like, hey, because of COVID, you couldn't go into like nursing homes and shit like that. Wild.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Dang.
But I'm going to want that dog. So yeah, I'm not going to forget that, Paige. So if it's a toozy and you lose and Jake Paul as well, then I get the dog.
Here's what we'll do. We'll enlist the help of BJ Ball, and he'll drive the getaway car, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then we'll get Rob O'Neill to do the dynamic entry into the home. He's the guy that killed Bin Laden. So we got this whole thing wrapped up. That dog is ours. Then I think if you successfully kidnap a chihuahua like that, you own part of Taco Bell after that. I think it's a really small percentage, like 0.001% of the company. But if you do it enough, over time, you'll have one, a lot of Chihuahuas, and then two, a vested interest in Taco Bell, which is PepsiCo.
Have a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you get your own franchise at some point.
What's your cheat meal? Is it Taco Bell?
I love Taco Bell.
Mm. Same.
Love Taco Bell. Well, that's like my go-to long night out and I need something to like recover and heal myself. It's Taco Bell.
Right. So if anybody was wondering if Paige smokes weed, now you don't have to wonder anymore, right?
No. Yeah. Do you smoke weed?
Because nobody that doesn't
that
smoke weed
giveaway?
Goes to Taco
no,
Bell.
That's
yeah.
definitely not. Taco Bell is just amazing.
Oh, boy.
No, you smoke weed and eat Taco Bell. There's nothing better in this world than smoking weed and eating Taco Bell.
That's correct. Yeah.
You don't need weed to enjoy Taco Bell.
Mm. You're talking about a party with no music on. I can't get on board with that. It's,
you know, the only thing better than smoking weed and eating Taco Bell is when I was in Los Angeles and the Taco Bell combined with the Pizza Hut. Mm. So you could get a miniature pizza with it. It's on La Brea. Or no, I'm sorry. It's on Vine in Sunset, that Taco Bell. Anybody who lives in Los Angeles knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's the only thing better in this whole life.
No, there's one better thing.
What's that?
You aren't fat enough, sir. You need to throw the KFC in there, too.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So on the other side of town.
Get the double down and then roll it up in a fucking pizza and then put that in a taco somehow?
So on the other side of town, in kind of by the airport, Marina Del Rey-ish, there's a KFC that is combined with a Taco Bell.
It's the Kentucky Hut.
Yes. Oh, it's the best.
There's a Taco Bell in Vegas that serves margaritas.
Yeah, it's near MGM, isn't it?
Are you serious?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we walked by it the other day. Well, you weren't with us.
I wasn't with you.
There's one here that does it.
You're kidding. Where's that at?
On the drag by UT.
Oh, really? Wow, I figured it would have been at the Domain or some shit. Yeah. That makes sense, though, near the college, near the school there.
I am all in on that.
How about what kind of booze are they using? Because I can't do bottom shelf tequila. I can do bottom shelf pretty much any other kind of booze, but not tequila.
The tequila's not the issue. It's the fucking, like, 8 bags of Skittles they use to make their margarita mix.
All right. Yikes. Well, that sounds like some strip club shit, Bob.
Yeah.
And I'm not here for it. Paige, this is the point in the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Yikes. Okay. Inspired me, I guess. Drinking bro would be my dad. He made me tough, so made me a fighter.
That's the most common answer. You shouldn't feel weird about saying that.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I want you to know that this is a safe space where you can love your father openly and not feel bad about it.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
I would say my dad made me tough. My mom and my brother are like the same person, and then me and my dad are the same person.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you just can't open mouth kiss your father. Like we're not that safe of a space.
Tom Brady, so you're in Florida. Keep an eye out for that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know about Tom Brady's open mouth kisses, right?
I know about that. I have heard that.
But that's like you meet an adult and they have this weird habit that only their family did, and everyone's like, dude, what the fuck? But Tom Brady's been like famous for so long, nobody ever told him.
Yeah, you know, and nobody knew it's like that documentary.
It's like being too hot and as a woman and you never learn anything or something like that. That fucking old stupid trope. But it's the same. I think people are in the bubble. 30 Rock did an episode about it with John Hamm one time.
Yeah.
Like he was too good looking. So, and he was a doctor, but he didn't know anything. He just like had cheated his way through. I think Tom Brady has cheated his way through becoming a normal human being. Right?
Maybe. Speaking of which, are you going to have children one day?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think so.
All right. Well, if you do.
As of right now, my husband and I do want kids eventually.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're too busy fighting and all that other stuff. So it makes sense. But if you do, just don't Alicia Silverstone your children.
What's that?
Baby birds her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She chews up the food and then puts it in her kid's mouth.
Oof. Yeah. I don't know that I'm into all that.
Google it after this interview is over, and there's a picture of her on the train doing it to her child, and it's just, it's chicken, too.
We're basically raising all of
them. How old is the child?
Oh, they're like 9, I think, right? Now, I think.
Now, but they were younger then, and I guess she was worried about the kids choking on the food, and it was
Choking hazard.
Yeah. Like, you eat chicken all the time, like, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, man, chicken is such a bad food to chew up, and then... because it's too dry going into the mouth. Like, it's a bad pick. And that's what we do here on this show. We leave people with awful memories that will last a lifetime and haunt their dreams forever.
Awesome.
Paige, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and where they can watch the fights on Saturday night.
He's nine.
Yes. Find me on social media. My name's Paige Van Zandt. Find me. I'm Paige Van Zandt. That's pretty much it. And then, yeah, watch the fight, the BKFC app. You can go to the BKFC Instagram and find it. I'll post it like crazy so you can find all the links and stuff on my Instagram.
Awesome. And then as far as drinking bros go, we will have a link, correct, Giorgio, for
yes.
the fights for everybody to click on and watch us and Chuck Liddell call the fight, give our reactions. Paige, looking forward to taking that dog. No, we want you to win.
I'm so excited that you'll be donating money to the USO.
And that's months from now. Forget about that moment. Shit.
It's actually not. It's 1 month from now.
It's 1 month from
now.
Yeah. We've got shit next weekend to talk about. And this is the one where the major, I don't give a fuck about $10,000.
Yeah.
If somebody came to take my dogs, fuck John Wick. Fuck that John Wick bullshit. That's not real. I will fucking burn your house to the ground, and I will burn all your family's houses to the ground.
The only thing Dan cares about in this world is his dogs.
My lady and my dogs.
Same. Yes, yeah. Yes. Nobody will be taking my dog. Mm-hmm.
Well, Paige,
that's my child.
If you lose, you lose. Okay, a bet's
that's
a bet.
My baby.
Fair is fair, Billie Jean. Fair is fair. Okay, so we'll see. We'll see. We're gonna devise a plan as soon as we get off the air here. And if you lose, Paige, that's the consequences. That's how Tiger Woods became great. Okay, there's got to be consequences to your actions. So if you don't lose, well, we take your fucking dog. Sorry.
Wait, you're talking about how his dad glued the golf clubs to his hands
yes.
and shit?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what you need that type of motivation, Paige.
That's rough. Okay.
That's not the way your dad probably turned you into a tough person. that's not the typical path for people, I guess.
But I will say this. I am all in on Paige. Everybody who listens to the show knows we gamble on everything. Mm-hmm. I am all in on Paige. So I can call that now. You don't have to look at my bet slips on Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group. I am all in on Paige. I'll tell you that right now live on air. And I'll be dropping the hammer. Usually max bet on this is $2,000. So I'm in for $2,000 on you, Paige. Can't wait awesome. To watch your fight on Saturday night. Thanks for being on Drinking Bros. For Paige D'Anthony, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.